Now, yesterday evening, members of the Kill Residents Action Group went up to Dáil Éireann to protest outside the gates, but also to meet Minister Roderick O'Gorman over the proposal to house Ukrainian refugees at the Kill Equestrian Centre. Well, to get some reaction now and to find out how that meeting went, member and spokesperson of the Kill Residents Action Group, Fiona Forkin, is on the line. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Owen.
As I say there, a good few members of the action group travelled up to Dáil Éireann yesterday to protest outside the gates. How did that go, and then how did the meeting with Minister O'Gorman go?
Yeah, so there was a few of us that went up there during the day and just beforehand made our voices heard or brought our, a few of our signs up to get the answers, really. Mixed reaction from people walking by, mostly confusion, not knowing, one, where Kill was, and two, what was going on, and their, you know, their own concerns about areas that they lived in, that similar things were happening. So that was interesting to see that side of it. And then we had our meeting at 7 p.m. on the button last night. So it was Minister O'Gorman that we went in and met, and part of his team, Owen Wilson, and he gave us an introduction. He explained the huge emergency that he is facing at the moment of lack of accommodation, which we completely understand. And this is not just a Kill situation. Lack of communication was one of the things that we did bring up. Like, you know, we're one of the lucky ones that have found out. I mean, like, lucky is probably not the right word to use, but we had found out before a contract was put in place. Minister O'Gorman and the department don't usually talk to communities, local authorities and Gardaí until a contract has been put in place or an agreement has been put in place with a provider to house refugees. He gave us a guarantee that it is going to be Ukrainian families if the site goes ahead. There's no final decision. There has been no final plan. We have been informed that it's 165 Ukrainians in and around that they would be looking to bring in to Kill Equestrian Centre if it goes ahead. And that was reiterated quite a few times during the hour that we were in with him.
Now, that's a significant change in number, Fiona, almost halved.
And this is what baffled us. It was at the very start. As you know, 2.5 weeks ago, we had our public meeting and a circular was given to us that was sent down to Fintan Brett from the department, and answering concerns that we had. The number of refugees that were given on that one was based, so it was 348. So that's the number that we've had for 2.5 weeks now. And that was actually based on the Mill Street Equestrian Centre down in Cork. Now, there's a huge difference between Mill Street and Kill Equestrian. It has hosted the Eurovision, so in size it's bigger. It's already got insulation. It's already, you know, it has been created or updated for events, not just horse riding. And Kill Equestrian Centre is also a disused equestrian centre. So the number that misinformation that we've had over the last 2.5 weeks, when we thought we were getting facts, a lot of it was hearsay, even from officials.
Okay, and just to pick you up then on that point regarding the number then, if it's 165 and not 348, as Roderick O'Gorman told you in that meeting yesterday, is that acceptable? Is it more acceptable?
I mean, it is because it's not a huge... There's more to that figure as well. It's that it's not a step-down facility. So, again, with the misinformation over the last 2.5 weeks, we've been told that this is going to be a step-down facility. It is not. So these people are going to be able to, you know, if it goes ahead, would be able to live and integrate into society here, go to schools if there's school places. And this is all big ifs, and even the minister went along with this last night. If there's places for GPs, if there's places for schools, if not, they'll have to look at a wider area. So there's a huge amount that they're going to look at for decision making. And the core thing is to make sure that these people are safe. We still have a problem with seeing how a disused equestrian centre is going to be brought up to code within a very short time. Like, he is going to have to follow the regulations to the letter to facilitate refugees in there. And it, we brought up the question as well, that he's been doing ongoing works in there with no contracts, and on whose authority. And he, Minister O'Gorman and Owen Wilson actually have to come back to us on that point because they were not aware of this.
So what happens now from the residents' point of view then, Fiona? Where do you go from now? Are you going to continue protesting against the facility?
Against ongoing works and still not having the complete answers. Yes, there will be continuous protests, but this is not against like people that were coming in. We're also fighting for them, for their safety as well. You know, they've gone through enough already, and to be put into a disused equestrian centre that has slightly been brought up in a very short space of time doesn't sound all that great for them either. They'll, you know, for them to walk, it's 2 kilometres in the middle of the to get to the shop into the middle of the village, but it's another 2 kilometres to walk from there to the school. They're not going to have transport themselves. There's an awful lot of things that there seems to be a panic about the department, which is totally understandable. They've gone from 7,500 last year to 67,000 this year. So you can understand where the panic and the emergency is coming from. But like, our call is, can you make sure that you do this correctly, and can you make sure that these people are not going to be shifted out of their premises without notice? Oh, you're here today, and your kids have started school, but we're going to whip you out of there and we're going to put you somewhere else without telling you where you're going. There's no communication with the community, and there's no communication with these families either.
And Fiona, what would you say to people who might be listening who are thinking this is just people in Kill who don't want Ukrainian refugees to come into the village, that it's, you know, NIMBYism, not in my backyard? For example, you're saying that the equestrian centre is not up to standard. If there was a facility in Kill that was completely up to standard, would the residents then be happy to take Ukrainian refugees, whether it's 165 or 348?
No, I don't think it would be as much of a problem, because if there was an appropriate place for them to go to, like you just said, like a building that's already there, that we can turn it into something to facilitate refugees, Ukrainian refugees, families, women and children that have gone through the trauma of war already. No, I don't think there would be a problem there. As long, I think there still would be issues in regards to the numbers, Owen, because the infrastructure in the village is just not there. You know, the water, electricity, all that kind of stuff, because we are reliant on these, and there are issues with them already, with the amount of houses that are here. They're not major issues, but just adding on more houses and more people, and then, you know, poor unfortunate people that, you know, have to be put somewhere. And I don't think that putting them somewhere is the ideal thing to do. There is none of, we're not against helping people out, we're totally not, but there have been more appropriate buildings and sites offered to the department. And we raised this last night. I asked the question, so what factors are used for making the decision on, you know, taking a property off a provider? The factors of decision is value for money, as it's the taxpayers' money that they're using. When you look at that as one of them, Owen, this provider will be paid a contractual fee, a weekly contractual fee, a quite considerable sum, when other premises that have been offered to them were free of charge and there would be no contractual fee. So, and they would be also more appropriate for people, because they're purposely built to house people in some form.
Okay. And Fiona, just finally then, how did the meeting end with Minister Roderick O'Gorman last night? What assurances did you get from him, and what happens next?
So over the next few days, we hope to have a couple of the answers, especially on the authority for the whose authority the builder is working on in the centre. We've been invited back in 2 weeks' time to discuss further and to find out whether or not there's a contract put in place.
Okay, good stuff. With that update, that is Fiona Forkin, spokesperson and member of Kill Residents Action Group, having met Minister Roderick O'Gorman last night regarding the proposal to house Ukrainian refugees at the Kill Equestrian Centre. Fiona, thanks for your time this morning.
No problem, Owen. Thank you.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Terry has been in touch to say in Selbridge, the Maynooth Road has become a new black spot for traffic. Too many cars on one small road, too many traffic lights. The population is rising daily. We need a new ring road badly now, running from Salesians roundabout close to St. Wolstan's School. It would take the pressure off the Maynooth Road. Kildare County Council need to help regarding the new Liffey Bridge. The population, says Terry, is now close to 30,000 people. Well, that's where we're heading now, is to the Selbridge area and Fianna Fáil councillor Michael Coleman. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Owen.
Do you want to comment on that, Michael? We've spoken about Selbridge a couple of times over the last few weeks, including with independent councillor Ida Cusson and Ciara Galvin of Labour then yesterday. What's your view? I know that there is roadworks going on out at the Maynooth Road at the moment, out on the Dublin Road as well, which is causing traffic for Selbridge, but what do you make of that text?
Yeah, look, I totally agree with it. It's, the traffic has gone heavier on the Maynooth Road, so it has. And actually, one of my motions deal with that. And the person also mentioned about a ring road there to alleviate the traffic from St. Wolstan's up to the Maynooth Road roundabout.
Yeah,
and,
because
that was part of the initial local area plan that we put forward, or that the council put forward the last time. And but the minister changed that all about, because that was the intention of the council. And I think it was great for the town, but minister decided to not go with it.
You wanted a safety audit carried out on the junction of the aforementioned Maynooth Road around Kilwogan Lane and Croton Forest Park, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, Owen. And this is part, and this is on the Maynooth Road. And I suppose they're talking about lights, but maybe lights might be needed here. But look, I think safety is paramount for all, like, you know, for motorists, for cyclists, for pedestrians. And look, residents that can walk and contact me under concerns of the danger. And accessing the Maynooth Road from Kilwogan Lane during high volume of traffic on the Maynooth Road. And at times it can take like 15 to 20 minutes to safely get off the Kilwogan Road. So there is issues there. And the report, I suppose, wasn't any help to those residents that contacted me, because the junction of Kilwogan Lane, the state entrance to Croton Park, continuous off-road cycling facilities running through the junction, and uncontrolled pedestrian crossing of the footpaths on the R405 Maynooth Road. There's a two-lane full junction with yellow box provided at the junction to assist vehicles exiting Kilwogan Lane and Croton Forest Park during peak vehicular flows. There are advanced statutory warning signs for the ramp tabletop ramps, and additional statutory warning signs the presence of school children. There is a signal-controlled pedestrian crossing 70 metres south of the junction of the R405. The Minister District Office has observed the junction during periods of heavy and light traffic flows, and consider the junction to be working safely for all users. But the problem is getting out onto this road, because look at Kilwogan Lane also has Tornhill Court estate on it, and it's also a road running from Maynooth Road up to the Maynooth Strathan Road. So, like, there is a heavy volume of traffic at times on it. But look, the area office has agreed to monitor the situation and review the concerns of the residents at the junction. So we'll work on that anyway, but it is dangerous. Because you also, Owen, have two secondary schools up there, so you have, and that's part of the problem as well. So not only have you heavy traffic, but you have cyclists, pedestrians during the early hours in the morning.
You do, and you also have the entrance to Castletown House then is just around the corner there as well, so a lot of roads heading that direction. But what about the bridge then, the second bridge, or updates to the existing bridge in Selbridge? What's your views on that, or where do we stand?
They're working on that. There's a volume of work on that, and we're coming to the end of stage two, so we are. And we should know exactly where that bridge will, the position of that bridge. We know where it's going. But then next year, it'll go to, tender and design and that. So look, they're working on that away. We have funding for it already. We need more. But I think once we got that amount of funding, we had 10.3 million there a year and a half ago. And I think once we got that kind of money, I don't think funding will be a problem to finish it off.
Okay, two final issues then, Michael. We can deal with these both together. You were looking for an update on the restoration of Vanessa's Bower. You might tell us a bit about that. And also if there's going to be a columbarium wall installed in Donnacumber Cemetery.
Yeah, look, Vanessa's Bower was damaged by tree felling there in February of 2021. I had a motion then in March in 2021 to have the bower reinstated. Like, it's most great historical importance, not just to the county, but to the country. And the report, I wasn't heartened by the report either, as previous advice, Vanessa Bower in Selbridge is privately ownership. However, in order to progress the required repair works, the Kildare County Council Architectural Conservation Officer engaged with representatives of St John of God, discussed the conservation and repair of the bower and advise them the urgent urgency on the repair. The Architectural Conservation Officer has recommended to the representatives of St John of God that they engage with the grants under Historical Structures Fund and Built Heritage and Investment Scheme in 2003 to aid the works. Now, I'm very disappointed that no works have been carried out. And like, this is the second winter that the bower is open to the elements. So I've asked the council to liaise with St John of God's to have it protected, with fencing and covering the bower from further erosion.
What about the columbarium wall then in Donnacumber?
Yeah, look, this is good news. Again, residents have contacted me on the provision of a columbarium wall in the cemetery because, like, Selbridge, a population of 23,000 now, and the report is that a tender for the columbarium wall at Donnacumber will be listed in e-tenders in the coming fortnight or so. So look, I suppose people's final wishes are changing with more and more people opting for cremation over the traditional burial. So I'm pleased with this report.
Okay, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District with those issues raised in the Selbridge area. That is Michael Coleman. And another message in from Chris in Selbridge saying that more traffic lights will absolutely make the Minute Road worse. Something else needs to be done now. And we've also been talking about a new bridge in Selbridge for the last 20 years. It's a joke. Well, the only thing there that we can say, and we've heard it from Michael Coleman and from Ida Cusson, is that while for the last 20 years we might have been talking about a bridge, things are actually being done now and we're moving into, you know, second phases, third phases, etc. When it'll actually be delivered, we're not sure, but at least that ball is rolling. Marie Brennan, coordinator of Bridget 1500, joins us now. Good morning to you, Marie.
Good morning, Owen.
So Bridget 1500 launched with plans to celebrate the life and legacy of St. Bridget earlier this week. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bridget 1500, it's a programme of events for national and international events. So it's not just Kildare-based, but Kildare is obviously the hub because Kildare is the spiritual home of St. Bridget and we've very much adopted her in this country, so in this county. So what better place to focus the new national holiday of St. Bridget and the commemoration of her 1500th anniversary of her death than have a huge programme of events named Bridget 1500.
And I understand that you're accepting applications now for community groups or organisations who want to be involved and want to maybe host events, is it?
Exactly, yes. We have two grant schemes just launched So one is for communities and organisations who might want to run an initiative or an event celebrating St. Bridget, so either in 2023, and then actually will expand for 2024, because 2024 is the key date for the programme that marks the 1500th anniversary of her death on the 1st of February 2024. So the community grant scheme is now open. You can go on to bridget1500.ie into the news section and you'll get all the details for that. There's also an arts grant after opening, and that's for artists from all genres, so like film, prose, painting, sculptures, and they can apply now for arts grants to commission something amazing to provide this Bridget 1500 artistic legacy following the programme.
And what kind of events are you looking at then, or what kind of groups would you be calling at to maybe get involved and to apply?
Absolutely. Well, the programme itself will host a number of events. So things we're confirming our programme for 2023 at the minute, and then that will be kind of the starting block for 2024. So for the central programme, there'll be a schools programme, there'll be illuminations, bringing them for, like, they've happened the last number of years, but bringing them on another few levels and expanding them across the country. There will be concerts, there will be talks, there will be a pause for peace, which Bridget was very much an advocate of peace, and she was a peacemaker herself. So we're creating this pause for peace on the 1st of February, starting in 2023, which will be something that will hopefully roll out following that. So communities can get involved in a number of ways. They can host an event. St. Bridget embodied so many things. She had her faith, her spirituality, biodiversity, sustainability, arts and culture, social justice, peace, hospitality and education. So there's so many themes that run through the programme that communities can embrace and create a programme themselves that we will support.
Yeah, St. Bridget, of course, alive during a pivotal time in Irish history when Christianity began to take hold in Ireland, likely born around the 450s or 460s, and records indicate that she died in 524, and of course is very strongly connected with Kildare Town and also with the Curragh. And it was apt that the launch took place in St. Bridget's Cathedral in Kildare Town. I know Fintan Brett was there, Bishop Pat Storey, the CEO of Kildare County Council, Sonia Kavanagh as well, all very excited and looking forward to Bridget 1500.
Absolutely, yes. Well, the programme is being delivered by Kildare County Council, but with the support of a steering committee of key experts across every, like, anyone you can think of is involved. So it's St. Bridget's Cathedral, it's Solus Brigia, it's Maynooth University, it's Kildare Heritage Centre, some like Kildare Chamber, Kildare Village, the Curragh Racecourse into Kildare. We have experts across all areas that are associated with St. Bridget. So this is going to be a really big programme, and it's really going to cement St. Bridget's affiliation with Kildare and hopefully drive tourism for the county and also nationally, because the new national holiday is starting in 2023. So it's a good time. We want to make St. Bridget as iconic as St. Patrick, and why not?
Absolutely. And as you say, 2024 really is the pinnacle of Bridget 1500. That's the most important, or what you're really looking towards now. But there will still be events in 2023. So remind us again of those contact details if people want to get involved, particularly community groups, artists, etc.
Yes. So if they go on to Bridget 1500.ie and into the news section there, and there is a link to apply for the grants directly.
Yeah, it's always harder to spell something out loud than it is to write it down. So
absolutely.
I'm looking at it here. So it's Bridget1500.ie, and that is Marie Brennan, coordinator of Bridget 1500. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Marie, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you well in advance of those events as well. So the closing date for applications is Tuesday the 13th of December 2022, and more information on Bridget1500.ie. Brian Mack has been in touch on the WhatsApp. Car traffic won't get better in the long term with a new ring road. Induced demand means that they'll fill up with more cars as journey times drop temporarily. The only way to make car traffic permanently better is to get more people walking, cycling or using public transport. So improve buses and add routes to build more and better footpaths and cycle lanes, says Brian. Brian Mack. Keep your messages coming in, 0833 97 97 97. After the break, we are going to be talking about a concert that's taking place in Leixlip in honour of Joseph Locke, the former Clane resident and tenor. And then we have Crime Time with Kildare Gardaí.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just to let you know, it is approaching half time in the early game in the World Cup this morning. 42 minutes gone. Morocco 0, Croatia 0. At 1 o'clock, Germany play Japan. At 4 o'clock, it's Spain against Costa Rica. And then at 7 o'clock, Belgium play Canada. Well, I can tell you that a free concert to celebrate the life of former Clane resident and tenor Joseph Locke in the Springfield Hotel in Leixlip has been organised. And concert coordinator is Anne McNeil. Anne, good morning to you and thanks for taking our call again this morning.
Good morning, Owen, and thanks for having me on. I'm absolutely delighted to be able to announce this wonderful concert. We have a fabulous tenor, Paul Lennon. We have Mario Corrigan, who will be narrating the story of Joseph Locke. And then we're going to have a lovely soprano, Alana O'Connell is her name. And then the accompanist for Paul will be Anne Cullen. And it will be a wonderful evening. And it's fully supported and funded by Kildare County Council, which is absolutely great, because after the long period of artists not being able to work and all that, it's great to be able to get funding to provide this event, to help it put it on. It's just great, because it costs a lot of money to organise these things, you know?
Indeed. Tell us a little bit about Joseph Locke, Anne. He was a fantastic singer, had a great voice, very well known up and down the country. Wasn't originally from Clane.
He was an international. He was as good as Elvis Presley in his day, you know?
Yeah.
Really popular, especially in England and internationally as well. And he also made a film called Hear My Song. He married a lady from Selbridge called Carmel Dignan, and then they settled in Clane, and I think he passed away then. It would have been in Clane, and his wife Carmel is still alive there, so hopefully she's keeping well. I know she hadn't been well. I wish sent her my best regards. Yes, this is Elm Hall Heritage Group now. The event is the grant provided to Elm Hall Heritage Group here, which is a small local history group in Selbridge area. Yeah, so Joseph was very popular in some of his songs. Hear My Song, and then Jerusalem, and all those beautiful songs. It's going to be a wonderful, lively evening.
And it's the second Joseph Locke concert that's been organised, because I remember talking to you only a few months ago. There was one being hosted in Macaulay Place. A great success.
That was a huge success. Now, it's a smaller venue. There was only 80 people there. But this is a much bigger venue. It'll seat around 200. But I would advise people, the tickets are free, but I would advise people to come in good time so that they won't be disappointed. You know, I think it's important that they arrive in good time.
Okay, so it's happening in the Springfield Hotel in Leixlip. When, Anne, and do people have to book or anything or just show up?
No, just show up, but as I say, arrive in good time. It's on at 8 o'clock, but the doors will open at 7.
And when is it? Yeah. This Sunday?
It's this Sunday, yes. It is 27th, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, let me take note of that. So Sunday, the 27th of November. It's a free concert in the Springfield Hotel in Leixlip in honour of Joseph Locke. You don't have to book tickets or anything like that. Completely free, but it's on a first-come, served basis.
Yeah, and we mustn't forget now the County Council have funded it, which is absolutely wonderful. We're really pleased that that has happened. You know, I think it's very important to remember that.
Okay, well, listen, I wish you the very best with the concert on Sunday. We're going to play a little bit of Joseph Locke and The Soldier's Dream here, and a great, great song from him, and what a fantastic voice he had. That concert celebrating the life of Joseph Locke, Sunday evening in the Springfield Hotel in Leixlip. Anne McNeil, thanks a mil.
Thanks a million,
bye-bye. Out on the plain, the weary soldiers now are sleeping, lulled to slumber while the evening breezes blow. From the fields, the smell of new-mown corn is creeping, and the sentinel is pacing to and fro. Then all at once the sky is filled with shapes of horsemen. Lit up by lightning as the dying day goes down. And the famous white horse is directing the course to renown. And God's men, glorious throne, master lit meet the eagle's eye. Frames from Pepin, from Artoa, triumph and story. Steel hearts are there, see them riding.
On KFM.
With Mangard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Yes, and joining us on the line for Crime Watch this morning is Garda Aidan McGuan of Maynooth Garda Station. Good morning, Aidan.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. Some of the issues that we're going to be looking at here and places that we're going to be going to: Newbridge, Selbridge, Thigh, back to Newbridge and Maynooth as well. If we start off then in the aforementioned Newbridge, and last Sunday there was a theft from a person on Sunday morning.
That's correct, Owen. On a woman had her purse stolen from her in Newbridge in Park Muir. So while out walking on Sunday morning, and it was around 10 a.m, a man in a black hoodie top and black jeans approached a woman from behind. Now, he allegedly took a purse from the pocket in the fleece jacket that she was wearing before running off. So, look, at Garda, we are investigating the incident at the minute. We're hoping that there'll be CCTV footage that might be able to help us. But we're just asking people, if you were in and around the Newbridge area, and again, that was on Sunday the 20th of November at 10 a.m, and you've seen anything you think may have related to this incident, to contact the Newbridge Garda Station on 045 440 180.
Was the woman hurt at all, Aidan, or was it just she was shook up and frightened?
Yeah, she got a terrible fright, all right, but she was very fortunate. There was no injuries in this case, but again, you know, we just be asking people to be vigilant when they are out walking, just to be mindful, not to be wearing earphones, to be listening out, and just to be alert and aware of their surroundings.
Okay, in Selbridge then, there was a burglary last Friday in a housing estate.
That's correct. That happened in Thornhill Gardens Estate, Owen, in Selbridge. So a man returned home Friday evening to find that his house had been burgled. Now, we do know that the burglars gained entry by forcing a window at the rear of his house before ransacking. Unfortunately, they ransacked the place inside. Now, there was nothing taken in the incident, and we're currently looking at CCTV footage. But the Garda in Selbridge, again, we just want to ask listeners that if you have any information, if you are in and around Thornhill Gardens on the 18th of November around 8:30 in the evening time, and you've seen anything that you think might be related to this incident, to call them on 01 666 7800.
Okay, interestingly, at the exact same time on the exact same day, there was a burglary in Athy, so down the south of the county and in the north of the county.
That's correct, Owen. It just shows, look, we're at that time of year again when burglaries are very prevalent. So another burglary, this time in Athy in Mansfield Grove Estate. So a man went out to work, and about an hour later, he received a notification on his phone that there was an activation on his house alarm. So he returned to the house immediately, Owen, but unfortunately found that the house had been burgled. Now, they tried to gain entry through the front door by forcing it, but were unable. But they managed to get into the house by smashing a front window. Now, there was an amount of cash taken and amount of jewellery taken in this burglary, and we're currently looking at CCTV footage to see if we can establish what who the perpetrators were. But we're just asking anyone again, if you're in and around the area of Atai on Friday, the 18th of November at 8:30 p.m. and you might have any incident in relation to this, please contact Atai Garda Station on 059-863-4210.
It does highlight the increase of burglaries around this time of year. I'm sure you would like to maybe let people know that there is information available on the Garda website, the Light Up and Lock Up campaign.
That's 100% on, yeah. Look, at this time of year, we do see an increase in burglaries all the time. We just be asking people, be vigilant, have a look at your property, make sure that you're secured, make sure that your doors and windows are secured, you know, light up the windows. We have loads of information out there. Like you said, the Light Up Lock Up campaign has loads of information for people on how to secure their home. And if they want any of that, they can just go on the Garda website, www.garda.ie.
Unfortunately, it's not just houses that are being burgled. There was a theft from a car in Newbridge then.
That's right, yeah. A man parked his car overnight in Darra Park Estate in Newbridge. So we have a large time frame for this, so a large time window that we're looking at. So at some stage between 2 p.m. on Saturday the 19th of November and 5 a.m. on Sunday the 20th of November, the car was broken into and there was a number of items taken. Now, he had some cash taken, AirPods and other electronic equipment. Now, we are investigating it. We're hoping that CCTV footage will gain some insight as to what happened. But we're just asking listeners, if you were in and around the Darra Park area around these times, and again, we are aware that it is a large time scale, but if you did notice anybody, you know, suspiciously acting suspiciously around people's cars, to contact the Gardaí at Newbridge. And again, it just highlights people not to leave, you know, valuable items, cash, jewellery or any electronic devices in their cars when they're parked up at night time.
Okay, and then if we go to Maynooth, there was an assault there on the 20th, which was last Sunday.
That's correct, yeah. So currently the guards in Maynooth were looking at an alleged assault, and this happened in Maynooth train station. And in this case, an object was thrown at a man and struck him in the head. Now, thankfully, the injuries were very minor. And Gardaí, we're looking at CCTV footage just to see if we can establish exactly what did happen, because we're still unsure. So we're asking just people, if they were on the train between Leixlip and Maynooth on Sunday evening about 6 p.m, and again, that's the 20th of November, and they noticed any form of a disturbance, you know, or public order incident or scuffle, could they please contact the guards at Leixlip on 01-666-7800.
All right, so just to briefly recap then, the first offence that we looked at was a theft from a person in Newbridge in the Park Wirra area on Sunday the 20th, then a burglary in the Thornhill Gardens estate in Selbridge on Friday the 18th of November, then on the same day there was a burglary in Atai in the Mansfield Grove estate, that theft from a car on between the 19th and the 20th, which was Saturday and Sunday in Darra Park in Newbridge, and then that assault that Aidan has mentioned there in Maynooth. Before we let you go, just looking at the briefing sheet here, Aidan, that you sent through, hard to believe that we're already talking about the Santa truck making its way through towns and villages around the county.
Look, I know it's early, but I was out and about in Maynooth the other day, and I actually seen a couple of Christmas trees also, so it is. Look, at that time of year is coming around quick, and to be completely honest, I love this time of year. You know, there's great spirits, there's great feelings around the place. The Santa truck, we do get involved every year with them. We were involved heavily with them last year, and we're going to be involved this year. We're supporting what they do. They do some great work for the Laura Lynn Children's Hospice. So they've told us that they're starting their trips around the county this weekend. They're going to be in Naas. If you want to see what towns they're coming to, you can check them out on their social medias. If you are going out, if you have children with you, just make sure that, you know, you're wearing reflective equipment or reflective gear. You're up on the footpaths, you're doing it safely. But they always bring cheer to the towns that they go to. So every year they draw large crowds, and we just ask people who are attending to be safe and to enjoy and support what they're doing, because they're doing some great work.
Yeah, super stuff. You can get more information, as you say, Aidan, on their social media. I know they're going to be in a tie on Sunday as well for the big switch on of the Christmas lights, and then they're going to be in Junction 14 Mayfield in Monastrevin on Saturday the 3rd of December between 2 and 5 o'clock. They're going to be in Naas as well, as you say, so check out their social media to find out more information there. But that is Garda Aidan McGowan of Maynooth Garda Station with that comprehensive wrap-up. Thanks, Aidan.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.